Okay, we're up to Perek Lamed Vav, Pasek Ches. Okay, we are in the middle of a very different style of writing. In Sefer Yeshayahu, where it's a lot simpler. It's a narrative describing the historical account of what happened at the time of the Sakhtev. So we are Pasek Ches. We here have Rav Shoki. Rav Shoki has been sent by Sanherif to ask Hizkiah to surrender. And this is 8 years after the fall of the Aseres HaShratim. At this point in time, it appears that Sanherif has conquered just about the entire civilized world, pretty much more or less. It does seem that Mitzrayim does have some degree of autonomy. And Bnei Yisrael, the people living in Yehuda, were at this point appeared to attempt to make some type of treaty with Egypt that they should come to their aid or at least call off, do something to prevent Sanherib from attacking Yerushalayim. And Sanherib was not happy with this, so he sends his representative, chief of staff, Rav Shaki, which we learned was a Yisrael Mummer. He was familiar with the religion of the Bnei Yisrael. And here he was sent to speak to Chizkiyahu, but Chizkiyahu would not give him an audience, so he spoke to his representatives, which was Eliakim, Shevna al-Habayis, and there was a third person, the Maskir, Yoach ben Asaf HaMaskir, what? Shevna HaSefer, correct. Eliakim al-Habayis. Eliakim ben Chilkiyah al-Habayis, Shevna HaSofer, and Yoach ben Asaf HaMaskil. These are the three people that were sent by Chizkiyahu to greet, to listen, to hear the request of Sanherif. And we are continuing his statement. And he says now, Pasuk Ches, V'ata his Arevna, now pledge yourself, and like an Arev, a cosigner. A cosigner is a person, what? Okay, but here means to in this context it means to be mechayev yourself, to obligate yourself to do something, to be responsible, right? Correct. So here it means viato his orev. Viato his orev no es adonu hamelech. Obligate yourself to listen to the king Ashur. What obligation am I asking you to accept upon yourself? Accept the following challenge. Ashur, Melech Ashur, will give you 1,000 horses, 1,000 army horses, horses that are used, war horses, and let's see if you can provide soldiers, cavalrymen, to ride the horses. I guarantee you can't even do that. And that will be an indication of your weakness, of how helpless you are. Here I'm willing to give you arms, and you don't even know how to use the arms. Exactly. V'yata now his arevna, obligate yourself to accept the following challenge. Es adoni hamelech, with my master hamelech Ashur, the king of Ashur, v'etno lecha alpayim susim. What is the challenge? I will give you 1,000 horses. Imtuchal, let's see if imtuchal lo seis lecha, if you have soldiers that are able to ride the 1,000 horses. And I guarantee that you will fail on this challenge. And that is a clear indication of your weakness. You can't even do this. Even if someone will give you on a silver platter weapons, you will not have the capability to use the weapons. Alachas kam v'kam, how do you think you're going to survive an onslaught of my king Ashur when he comes to conquer your nation? V'eich toshav, therefore, since you will fail this challenge, how dare you turn away, how dare you reject when we come to you and ask you to surrender, and here, and how dare you turn away even es pnei pachas achan, even the face of the lowest general, lowest governor. Pachas means a low level officer in the king of Ashur, avdi, of the servants, adoni haketanim, of my master that is haketanim, that is insignificant, but tiftach loch. And yet you have faith, al Mitzrayim, for Egypt, l'rechav u'le, for Roshim, for horsemen. How do you think you're going to survive this, our conquest of the Malchus of Yehuda, when you don't even have people, and even the smallest of the servants of the king of Ashur is greater than the entire army of Eretz Yisrael of Yerushalayim. V'yata now. And now he goes on, Rav Shaka, and he has religious talk. And he says the following. This obviously was able to speak because of his background, since he grew up in Yerushalayim. He grew up in Eretz Yisrael. He knew of the religion of Bnei Yisrael. He was able to say the following statement. V'yata now. Ha-mi ba'ladeh Hashem. Do you think that I'm able to come up against Yerushalayim without the assistance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It has been ordained by no one other than Hashem Himself to give me permission to allow me to conquer Yerushalayim. This has been divinely ordained. Hashem Omar Eli. Would you believe the arrogance of him saying this? Hashem has spoken to me, Alei El Horetz Hazos Vehashchisa, and destroy it. For that is the end of the statement of Rav Shake. Vayomer El Yakim Veshevna of the Yoach El Rav Shake. So the three servants, El Yakim, Veshevna, and Yoach, they spoke, they responded, El Rav Shake. Daber no El Avodecha Aramis. When Rav Shake was speaking, he was speaking in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh. And Lashon Kodesh was the language that was spoken by the people living in Yerushalayim. Everyone heard in this conversation, since it took place in the public place, it took place by the Stei HaKodesh, by the field where they laundered their clothing. Obviously, this was a gathering place. It was a large open area, and it was a public scene. In a very short period of time, everyone gathered around. There was a large group. Right away, everyone sent some instant message to their friend on their cell phone. Come, listen, there is a conversation taking place over here. There's a representative, Melech Hashvi, speaking to the representatives of the king, and a very short period of time, there's a large gathering over listening to this conversation. And being that Rav Shake grew up in Yerushalayim, he knew the language well. He spoke a fluent Hebrew. He spoke a Lashon Kodesh, and the people knew the language, and they were listening, and they were terrified hearing that Asher is planning to come and conquer the country, and he's telling the representatives of the king, surrender. So they were terrified. So the three servants of the king, Yoach and Shevna and Eliakim, told Rav Shaki, please do not speak to us publicly in a language that the Hamonam, the multitudes, can understand. Speak to us in Aramis, in Aramaic, because Aramis is a language which the people do not understand. It's very interesting, because we today, it turned just the opposite. That was a later point in time. That was going back all the way to the time of the Bayesheni. During the Bayesheni is when the things changed. But at this point in time, it's fascinating insight into their culture, is that they did not understand Aramaic, and they only understood Yehudis. And therefore, he begged him. What the Malachim? Only Malachim don't bother with the language. Not that it's insignificant. Speak to us in Aramis, and that way we know Aramis, you know Aramis. It will be a code. It will be a private message between us, and the Hamoinam will not understand this conversation because we do not want to demoralize them. If they will know what you're asking us to do, it will have a terrible effect upon the people. So Daber Na, I please. Na is Loshon Bakasha. And I guess they were able to speak to him with such a plea because, you know, he was one of them. He was Jewish. So at least you're a self-hating Jew, but you know, at least don't overdo it. You wanted to give us a message, in the name of your master, tell it to us privately. Don't publicize this. We're listening. Do not speak less in Lashon Kodesh. In the ears of the people, Asher al Hachemah, because people were standing around, they were listening to what was being said. So he notched up the arrogance and the chutzpah even higher. He said, "Really, you want me to speak to Aramis? Come pakert. Ha'el Adonecha v'elecha shilochani Adoni ledaber es hadvar mo'ele. Is it true what you're saying that my king, Melech Asher, only sent me to speak to you and your king, to the king and his representatives? That's not so. Haloi, is it not true? Al ho anashim. The message is for the entire Jewish people. Everyone in Yerushalayim should hear the message. Hayashrim al hachayimah, that are sitting around on the wall. They're all standing around here. They were sitting on the wall. And I'm giving them the following message. Now you have to add words into the pasuk. And he says, you better surrender. Because if you do not surrender, we will besiege this city. And the result will be you will starve. And the starvation will reach a point where you will consume your own waste and drink your own urine. And that's what he says. And the way he spoke, if you have here Kriv Chasef Chazal Darshan, they discuss this they discussed this and they other related in Yanim that Lashon Kodesh, you don't say anything that's vulgar. Everything has to be in a beautiful expression. But when he spoke with profanity, Rav Shake, nivel peh, and the way the words he used was choram. Choram is a dirty word. It means the waste that comes from the part of the body where there are holes, excrement. But we don't say that. So we read it as so awesome, sloshnov tsay, of what it's a veiled reference to the waste. And he told them that if you do not surrender, you'll come to a point where lecholes so awesome, you will starve and you'll be forced to eat your own waste. The lishdois es meme raglehem, which means you'll be forced to drink your own urine. And the way he described it, he said this word which we have over here with a shin yud nun yud hey mem, which is a word which lots of shinayim, teeth, because that refers to the physical, the that part of the body. The way it's described in the Chazal, it's a series of bones and muscles which resembles teeth. And he told them together with you. He insulted even the nobility, even the king, and his representatives will starve and will also be forced to eat their own waste and their own meme raglehem. So therefore, after he heard this Rav Shake, so after he was told to be quiet and speak in Aramis, he defied the three officers, and he spoke up and said to them, I'm not going to speak in Aramis, I'm going to speak in Yehudis, because Adarabah, my message is for the entire Jewish people. He raised his voice, Yehudis in Lashon Kodesh. He said, Shimu Esdiv Reha Melech HaGodol Melech HaShur, listen to the king, the great king Melech HaShur, Koyamar HaMelech, Al Yashi Lochem Chizkiyo, let him not be mefate, let him not entice you. Don't let this madman, he called this person Chizkiyo, don't let him persuade you, entice you to think that you can survive the power and might of Ashur. He lo yuchal lahatzil eschem. He does not have the physical strength, does not have the army, the weapons, the sophistication, al derech hateva, to overcome the king of Ashur. And don't let Chizkiyo speak religious words, religious talk, and tell you that you'll have siyata d'shmaya. V'yal ya'avtach eschem Chizkiyohu el Hashem lemar. Do not let him try to convince you to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying, Hatzel Yatzi Leinu Hashem, Hashem will save us. Lo, and let him not tell you, you have to hear the word V'al. V'al is repeated twice. V'lo sinosenu ir hazos biad melech Asher. Let him not tell you, let him not try to convince you that this city will not be given in the hands of Ashur. Al tishmu el Chizkiyo, do not listen to Chizkiyo. Ki choya mar hamelech Ashur, asu iti v'racha, do with me a blessing. It's a very unusual expression here. It means peace. Make with me peace. Surrender. When it's a very fascinating insight. What is shalom? There are many different types of shalom, with a vav, without a vav. We discussed this. Shalom, shalem. But when a person is at peace with another, that means you're willing to bless them. See, it's one thing, we think of doing a peace is, okay, you know, we're at peace, we're not going to kill each other, right? I'm not going to, but ad kidei kach, you want me to give you a bracha? I should greet you, b'seif upon him yafos, smile and bless you with sincerity? That far I'm not going to go. Here it's fascinating that the ultimate bracha means not only are we at peace, not only are we not trying to kill each other, we're not at each other's throats, I'm willing to bless you with sincerity. That's a very high level of peace. Extremely high level. And that's what he is demanding. That's what he says. Asu iti v'racha, a blessing. And here in the Mefarshim, we will explain, it means make with me peace and surrender. Utsu'ui, like, come out to me. V'ichlu ishkafna, v'ishteinaso. And if you will, now here he describes what will be. He's telling him the plan. Right now, come out and surrender. Give up your weapons, put down your weapons, pay us tribute, let us come in and take over, and in the meantime, you'll be able to live in this land. Each person can remain in their home. Each person can eat their gafna, their vine, from their vines. The ish teinaso, you can eat your grapes and your figs. Ushasu ish me voro, everyone can drink water from their wells, from their cisterns, from their springs. You could have everything. You go on. But you should know that, you know, the king is a little busy, Asher is a little bit busy, he has to go and he has to tie up some loose ends. But your surrender means that within a short period of time, not necessarily today, tomorrow, you will be exiled. And this was the custom in ancient times, to take a nation and remove them from their land and bring them somewhere else and import from another country different people into a new land. This technique was maximized by he was the one that really exploited this technique, and other nations followed in the same way. When a person is not in their homeland, they are weak, they are confused, they don't know the terrain, they don't know the culture, they don't have a full grasp of their environment, and that automatically weakens them mentally, weakens them physically. They don't have the chutzpah, the azos, to rebel. Yeah.
Because at that point they become so preoccupied.
Just resettling.
Survival. They don't have this, any kind left
to rebel. Right. So it's also... What?
That's
for Yosef. Yosef, exactly. The same thing. And we have that by the Makos. What do we have? We learned about the Makos, but Orov. One of the ten makos was the wild animals. So it says the pasuk that Hashem brought the wild animals with the Adama, Asher. I don't remember the exact words. The pasuk, they were brought. They were relocated from the desert or wherever, from the wild, from the lands. They came with their earth. So the mefarshim there is, could be it's a medrash. Why does the pasuk emphasize that the animals will arrive in Mitzrayim? From wherever they've come, Hashem will call them to come. He'll also bring there, miraculously, we don't exactly know what this means, the earth that they would tread upon. And the answer the Medrash gives, I believe it's the Medrash, is that if you'll take a lion and a tiger and some ferocious beasts that we're not even familiar with, and you relocate them to a new country, to a new environment, they won't behave in the way that they're accustomed to, because they're in a foreign environment. This is not my land. I don't know what it's like here. They're lost. You ever see a stray dog? Many times stray dogs, they're not in the attack mode. When they're walking with their master, you walk down early in the morning, you go to davening, and there's the balabas holding on the leash, a dog, even a small little dog. You get too close to the dog, the dog starts barking. It sees another dog, 10 miles away, goes crazy. Where does the chutzpah come from? Because the dog is comfortable. This is part of its routine. It goes down the block every single day. But when you ever see a stray dog, it loses its master, it roams the street, it looks totally lost. Why? It's lost. When you're lost, you don't have that chutzpah, that confidence to rebel, to behave in the way you normally behave. When the animals were taken out of their natural habitat and deposited suddenly in Egypt to attack the Egyptians, they're lost. They're not in the mood, they're not in the frame of mind of attacking. Hashem had to bring with the animals the earth upon which they tread in their whole wind, in their natural habitat. And when they would smell the earth, they felt at home. Oh, I feel at home. I smell the earth. I recognize the soil. Okay, maybe the environment's a little bit different, but I feel pretty much at home. Now I see an Egyptian. It's time to attack. Every creature needs his environment to have confidence to accomplish, to go on the offense. And that's here what it's. That's what Asher is going to do. I'm going to let you stay on your land in the meantime, but ultimately you're going to be exiled into a foreign land where you're not going to be familiar with the environment, and you will not have the chutzpah, the confidence, to go on the offense. You'll just be busy, as Rav Miller said, with your own survival. That was his technique, and it was very successful. And that's what he did. And that's what he's telling them now over here. I'd bow you until I come. V'lokachti, I let you live in your land now until I come. V'lokachti eschem el eretz, I will take you to a new land. Now here is a fascinating pasuk, el eretz ke'aretzichem, to a land that is just like your land. Now that is a. Now this already gave away. There's a medrash that gave away. We'll read the medrash in a moment. Okay, to a land like your land, eretz dagon v'sirosh, surrender. If you surrender, it'll be good for you. You'll be able to live now in your homeland, and I'll take you eventually to a new land, and your new home will be good. There'll be dagon, there'll be grain, v'sirosh, there'll be wine, eretz, lechem, land of bread, uchuram, and vineyards. It won't be so bad. But if you're going to surrender, if you're not going to surrender, the end will be you'll die, and you'll end up eating your own waste. Pen yasis eschem chizkiyahu lemar. Let not chizkiyahu entice you. Let him not brainwash you into this nonsense, thinking that you can survive the onslaught of Ashur. Lemar saying Hashem yatzilenu. So here he speaks religious talk, that Hashem will save us. Ridiculous. Let's look at my record. Here is my resume. Look at my accomplishments. Ha-ha-tza-ha-tzilu. Elokei ha-goyim ish es arzo. Did the gods of the nations save each nation, each man es arzo from his land? Miyad melech Ashur from the almighty, powerful King Ashur? Aye Elokei Hamas. Where is the God of Hamas? The Arpad, Aye Elokei Sifar Voyim. Where is the God of Sifar Voyim? These are different nations that have been destroyed and conquered by Ashur. V'chi Hatzilu Es Shomron Miyadi. What about the Aseres Hatis was the real dad? If you don't believe in the gods of the other nations because you hold they're not gods, what about your own brothers? Your own brethren? What about all the people of Shomron? Those are your brothers. The Aseres HaShvatim, the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim was in Shomron. What happened to them? They're gone. Ashur exiled them to a land and we don't even know where they are. Mi b'chol Elohei ha'aretzos ela, who of all the gods of these lands, Asher hitzilu es artzam yadi, was able to save the people, their land, from my hand? Ash kiyatzil, that you think that Hashem kiyatzil Hashem es Yerushalayim yadi, that Hashem will save Yerushalayim from my hand. So here's what he says, that look at my record, no other nation, we have conquered pretty much the entire civilized world. Every nation in ancient times had their god. They were all religious nations, pagan gods, whatever they were, the Avodah Zarah, the old worship some deity, and none of these gods was able to save their country. So why do you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is any different? And even your own brothers, you share your religion, more or less. I mean, unfortunately, it was enormous Avodah Zarah, but even your own brothers, the Aseres HaShvatim, did not survive the exile, the conquest of Sancheiv. Now, before we go further, let us discuss a couple of very interesting midrashim. One medrash discusses the condition of what happened when they went into Eretz Yisrael. When Yoshua arrived in Eretz Yisrael with Bnei Yisrael, they sent a message throughout the entire seven nations of Canaan. Now, let me read you inside a few words of this medrash. The medrash appears in Vayikra Rabbah. Very standard, nothing exotic. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Gimel Piruz Dig Mos. It's a very unusual word. It means three decrees of the king, three messages, or three options.
Like the word dogma.
Dogma, okay. I'm giving you three options. Shalach Yeshua Etzlam to the nations of Canaan. Haroitze Lefanos Yifaneh. Anyone here, we're coming in, we're taking over. We are the new boss in town. First Rashi in Parashas Bereishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, He has given us Eretz Yisrael, therefore your time is up. It's time for you to leave. You have three options. Either you can pack up and leave. You'll survive, you'll live, no one's going to harm you. Pack up and go find the place, find a new, it's a big world out there. Go to America. Go somewhere. Find for yourself a new homeland. And if you wish to do that, that's an option. If you want to live here, if you want to stay here, guess what? You can stay here also. You don't have to leave. Just, you have to recognize who's in charge, and you have to observe the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. That's it. Seven commandments. No Avodah Zarah, no Gezel, no Arayis. Not so bad. There are not so many, just seven takanos. Not that many to come to an asifa, and we'll give you seven takanos. What? No, you can have internet. That's not one of the takanos for the umos ha'olam. Seven takanos. That's the. And if you don't want, And lasos mulchama yasi. You want to go to war with us? So we're prepared. We're prepared to go to war. We'll wipe you out. And indeed, most of the nations, they decided to go to war. They did not take that option. But it was an exception. Girgashi, right? We say in Davening, in the seven nations, one of the nations, the nation of Girgashi. Omad, they took the first option. They did not want to accept the takanos of the Sheva Mitzvahs, they had a lifestyle that they could not do away with. They insisted they preserve their lifestyle, but they realized they're not going to fight. They want to live. They packed up. They packed up and got on a plane. They all left. Me'elof, and therefore, this is a fascinating thing, they were rewarded. And we learn from this pasuk the reward. Lefichach nitna lo eretz yofa ke'artzo. They got a land that was equivalent to Eretz Yisrael. Now we're not finished yet. And what was that land? Hadohu dichsev. And the Medrash concludes. How do you know? Does there exist in the world a land that is equivalent physically to Eretz Yisrael? I mean, not even to say this or not. If I wasn't reading this, you'd tell me not be curious, right? But it says here, Ad boy, it's yes, this pasuk here that we've just learned today. Ad boyi v'lokachti eschem l'eretz ke'artzichen. We learn from this pasuk here in Perek Lamed from Rav Shakeh, who told the Jewish people, surrender. If you surrender, you will live. You can stay here for the immediate future, but ultimately your surrender means you're going to be relocated ke'eretz ke'artzichen, a land that's just like this land. Was this statement true or false? The fact that it is recorded in Sefer Yeshaya, the words of Nevi'im are emes, it's true. That's how this Medrash interprets the pasuk.
Right.
This particular Medrash.
Right.
That's what I'm coming to.
Right.
One thing I told you, we remind them, there are conflicting Midrashim. So this Medrash, and this is a standard, not esoteric, Vayikra Rabba, right? This is the run of the mill. That this the words of the Nevi'im are MS. If it's recorded, doesn't record nonsense. The fact that Rav Shakeh made the statement in public, there's truth to the statement. There is another land in the world that is equivalent in good, Yofa. You use the word Merdesh Yofa. That's a very powerful. It says Eretz Yofa. What?
Does it make it credible as to who is coming from?
That is the issue that I'm coming to discuss. According to the Medrash, the answer is yes. The Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh are Kodesh. They're sacred. It would not record nonsense. If a madman gets up and makes a statement of nonsense, if there has to be a reason why the Yeshaya, why it would be recorded for posterity in a holy book. The fact that it is recorded obviously means that there is a degree of truth. It wouldn't be recorded. And that's what the Medrash explicitly says. It even uses the word Yafa. The Medrash adds another word which the other Midrashim Adrav, they focus that does not say the word Yafa in the Pasuk. But this Medrash says, Eretz Yafa ki Artso, Hadohu Dichsiv, that's what it says in this Pasuk. Ad boy vilkachti eschem l'eretz artzichem. And now you even want to know, it tells you which land, where is there a land in the world? Wouldn't you be interested to know to go invest? Buy some real estate in another country? And it says here, Zo Afriki. Afriki, which we translate as Africa, which is not muchruch, okay? We translate Africa as a very big place. I mean, it's humongous Africa, it's a continent, so what part of Africa exactly are we referring to?
Uganda.
You get, getting here very political, okay? So this is a very powerful statement, okay? Afriki does not necessarily mean Africa. It may mean some exotic island that we are not exactly familiar with. We have this many times. We think we know where the place is. And we dig a little deeper and we discover there are only 10 opinions as to exactly where this place is located. But that is one Medrash. Now there's another Medrash. The Medrash is Pum Fakert. Okay, I don't know if I could find it here on my page, but I remember seeing this somewhere that when he made this statement, he was discredited. In other words, this very distinguished individual, Rav Shakeh, he comes, he shows up. You can imagine what he looked like. He must have been dressed in, you know, right out of some movie, in the finest, most beautiful, distinguished clothing. And he's standing there and he's terrorizing the Jewish people. And they obviously came with an entourage from Melech Asher. They were willing to give a gift of 1,000 war horses. Obviously, he came with great wealth and pomp, and he starts giving a speech. And they were afraid. He seemed to be credible. But then when he gets up and says, I'm going to take you to a land, Eretz Ka'aretzichem, a land like your land. They right away, when he said that, after that, it was the end of his speech, they right away realized, just like this is a lie, everything else is a lie. This man is a madman. It's nonsense. There is no such thing as a land in the world that is Yafa, that is equivalent to Eretz Yisrael. Total nonsense. This person is a meshugana. He may be dressed. What?
Well, he's like a used car salesman trying to sell your car, right?
He's right away completely discredited. Everything he said so far was frightening, was, oh my gosh, the king's going to come, he's going to destroy us. But when he made this statement that was utter nonsense, because there is no such thing as Eretz Ka'aretzichem, they were relieved. The Jewish people were strengthened. He did himself in. He did himself in. They realized, the guy, there's no such thing. You're going to take us to an Eretz Ka'aretzichem? That's an outright lie. So the same way, this is a lie. You don't have 1,000 horses to give us. Melech Ashur is not coming to conquer us. We have a wise, holy king, Chizkiyahu, and we have a Yeshaya. We'll invest in them. We'll put our stakes in them, not in this Meshugana who's trying to sell us the Brooklyn Bridge.
In Egypt.
What?
We're going with Mitzrayim.
Well, that was Yeshaya. It was Yeshaya criticized. So Yeshaya strongly criticized. What?
He told us yesterday,
Chizkiyah, I mean,
that's it. He emptied the treasuries. He had no more. He said, that's it. No more.
He gave them I didn't say that about Mitzrayim. I don't know the details about Mitzrayim. We do know for a fact that there was a period of time where they did send lavish gifts to Egypt. But before that, we know from Divrei Hayom, and we know from Malachim Pasdei as well. We do know that Chizkiyahu did send to Ashur. He removed the gold that plated the doors of the Beis HaMikdash to pay tribute to Ashur, but that was only a temporary plan to hold off until he can inspire Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva, to learn Torah and do tshuva and Yerushalayim, and then ultimately they would rebel. Okay, let's go. That was another medrash. Okay, so basically, the point I want to make, what do we see from these two midrashim? They completely disagree. They completely disagree if there is any legitimate in this statement. See, that's a very interesting idea of med. Sometimes people think that all of the midrashim have to be reconciled. You learn something in Chumash, learn a Rashi. We were taught as a child, we read Rashi. We know everything Rashi selects, very carefully selects various midrashim. And it's etched into our minds, this medrash, and then we learn a piece of Gemara, and it says just the opposite. So how can Rashi contradict the Gemara? The answer is the Gemara is Rashi's quoting a medrash. The Gemara had a different tradition, and the Gemara and the medrash disagree. They disagree. Yes, Rashi knew the Gemara, but Rashi also knew that they disagreed. Rashi felt that the Pshuta Shomek, Rashi always comes to explain the Pasuk fits, the simple interpretation of the Pasuk fits much, follow, it's easier to understand the Pasuk if we accept this Medrash. Not that this is the only interpretation of the Pasuk, but the other interpretation of the Pasuk, according to the other piece of Gemara, requires us to translate the Pasuk in a much more complex form, which is not Rashi's purpose. Rashi's purpose is to translate the Pasuk in its simplest form. Of course, I am Panim LaTorah, Eilu Ve'ildi Ve'ilakim Chaim. But here's an example. We have one Pasuk, Eretz Ki'aretzichem, and one Medrash says, yes, this is correct. And based upon that correct difference, we derive a very important halacha that Girgashi was given a land reward for not causing us any problems. They were given a great, very great reward. And the other Medrash says, no, just the opposite. This is a total lie, total lie. And we have a new lesson to learn from this, is that the Jewish people were not impressed with Rav Shake. He did himself in, yeah.
I want to make the point that the Gadata is found in the Talmud and Medrash both come from Tanoim, and Tanoim
disagree. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, they disagree.
So they can have it on different.
They are God, that's what, absolutely. The pasuk chafal, vayacharishu, now here's a very beautiful pasuk, this is a lesson for life. This shows the wisdom, the chochma, the ultimate chochma of Chizkiyahu, vayacharishu, the three servants of the king, Yoyach, and Shevna, and Eliakim, were quiet. They did not respond to Rav Shake. V'loy onu also dovar. They did not say one word. Why not? Ki mitzvas hamelech hi lemar lo sa'anuhu. The king told these three servants, he's going to say some terrible things. Just ignore him. Do not answer. Do not respond. This was the chachma mila b'sela shtikusa b'train. To say a word is worth one coin. To be quiet, it's double. Loy motzasi luguf toiv mishtika. Sometimes the best thing is not to respond. Pasuk habeis. Vayavol Eliakim. This finishes the parak. Vayavol Eliakim and Chilkiyahu asher labayis v'shevna hasefer v'yoyach ben asaf hamaskir el Chizkiyahu kiruei v'godim. There's a whole section of Gemara about this pasuk. They came to the king with their clothing ripped. How do you appear before the king? This is very bechidish. You don't come before the king b'levush sok. We learn even when it comes to a secular king, we learn from Mordechai. Mordechai was not able to have an audience with the king because he was wearing sackcloth. He was mourning over the decree, the korban of Bnei Yisrael. And here they come before the Jewish king with their clothing ripped. The answer was yes, these were exceptional circumstances because he was mechoreif umegadef. Well, from here we learn the halacha that if a person utters blasphemy and he uses the shame Hashem, you are mechuyev, you are obligated to rise kriya, to rip, to do the same way a person does kriya for the death of a relative, rachmana litzlan, layaleinu. There is an obligation to rise kriya when one hears words of giduf v'cheref, which means to be mevarech Hashem. It's a euphemism, mevarech, to bless Hashem, a euphemism for saying something about Hashem that is not proper. And that's what, because over here he said Hashem's name many times, and he said terrible things, and he compared HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the other gods, and he said just like the other gods did not survive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your God will not survive Asher, so your God is no different. There's no greater cheref v'gidof than this. To say, first of all, to compare all of these pagan nothings to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that itself is Chayav Gid. Then to go say that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is subject to the whims of Asher, Nachamol, Chayav Gid. This was a terrible, terrible Chil Hashem. He said this in front of the entire group of people that was assembled around the world before the halacha requirement to rise Kriya. And again, this is discussed in the Gemara in many details, the number of Daf Gemara on this, in detail to describe all of the laws, and all these psukim are quoted extensively to show these details. Vayagidlo, they told the king, Ace Divrei Rav Shake, the words of Rav Shake, and then we're going to see, we're going to see how the response. The response, a beautiful response, this is very powerful stuff. As what does he do? He goes to the Beis Hamikdash, and he's mispalel, and he sends for Yeshaya. He does everything right. You see the godless, the greatness. He didn't go and send a press release to the secular newspapers how he's going to respond to the political threat of the survival of the Jewish people. His response was to rally the Jewish people to do tshuva and not even to deal with the media, not to deal with the enemy. It's between us and the Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's a lot to learn from the next parak, which we will continue, B'yitz Hashem, after Yom Tov. Okay, let's stop here.